Hello and welcome back to our podcast. It's a brand new month. We are in February of 2025. How amazing. And I just want to touch on something that is so exciting. We talk about it all the time. And I feel that it's a subject that is often misunderstood. We are going to talk about imposter syndrome. What about calling it the silent companion of those people that are usually high achievers? My name is Dr. Alison Chiwara. I am the CEO and founder of Human Focus Limited, a company that is truly dedicated to creating happier and healthier workforces and workplaces, as well as incredibly resilient communities and thriving communities. And as I say, this week, we're just going to start by understanding the roots and exploring why it's important to redefine imposter syndrome and how it is perhaps that hidden little ingredient or tool in our quest for our personal and professional growth. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been stood in a room and thought, how on earth did I get here? How am I amongst these people? How am I in this meeting? Maybe you've dismissed your own achievements after all and putting it down to its luck. Or I was in the right place at the right time. Like a lot of people have said, and I've heard many people say that, and almost convinced that someone in that room at that meeting is going to uncover the truth. And I'll put that in inverted commas, that you're not as capable as others think. Well, that is absolutely untrue. Now, if that resonates, well, you're not at all alone. I have felt many times, I shouldn't be here. This meeting isn't for me. What do I bring to the table? And the more that I've grown as a person, the more I've just realized perhaps just being there, I learn more because I want to acquire more so I can do better. And actually, studies show that 70% of people experience imposter syndrome at some point within life's journey. Now, that's an incredible number, isn't it? Incredibly staggering number or percentage at 70%. Now, here's a somewhat new perspective per se. What if imposter syndrome isn't actually a fault or a crack, but a sign that you're exactly where you're supposed to be? That maybe it actually is a proof that you're pushing your own personal boundaries, your professional boundaries. Let's look at a recent podcast by the amazing Stephen Bartlett that I absolutely love. He's, of course, the host of The Diary of a CEO. He describes imposter syndrome in a somewhat exciting way. He says it's a sign of growth. When you feel like an imposter, it's often because you're doing something extraordinary, something that your heart is beating so fast that your past self never imagined you could do. It's that feeling of excitement, isn't it? But almost feeling it's surreal, unreal. That, I feel, is imposter syndrome when that feeling creeps in. While I was doing a little bit of research on this topic, I was thinking, that's really interesting. Because I came across something that stated that Albert Einstein did suffer imposter syndrome and doubted himself so much. Now, he was a genius. We know him as a genius. He did say once that the exaggerated esteem in which my work, or my life's work rather, is held makes me very ill at ease. Yes, that was Einstein. He felt ill at ease with how people esteemed his work. if imposter syndrome can coexist with genius, maybe we need to just stop viewing it as a weakness and start seeing it as a part of your growth journey, part of your advancement, your development. In neuroscience, there's a concept called the competence-confidence loop. This is when we step into new domain, or shall we call it new territory, and our brain initially flags this new territory as unfamiliar, and therefore, because it's unfamiliar, it's risky. And this is why you sometimes feel like an imposter, because you are in what feels like unfamiliar terrain, because you're growing outside your boundary, right? So you don't know this terrain. And therefore, it feels risky because you're out of your comfort zone. But with each small win, with each small progress, what your brain begins to do is to rewire itself, creating new pathways that will then reinforce that capability that you didn't recognize in yourself, and you're gently doing it the right way. In other words, that discomfort you feel is actually your brain's way of saying, hey, we are growing. I hope this does make sense to somebody. I really do want you to reflect on a moment when you have felt like an imposter. Just write that point down. That one moment, maybe several moments. And look back. Now, when you've looked back, look at where you are now and what you have achieved despite those feelings that you felt. You might just realize that the imposter syndrome didn't hold you back. For most people, it doesn't. It propels them forward. It actually, it's almost like a rocket push upwards, isn't it? What if the real imposter really isn't you, but the self-doubt that's trying to convince you otherwise? I really want us to unpack that as we go. You are more than qualified to be where you are. You are more qualified, actually, than you think. I want us to kind of flip the script a little bit. What about if I asked you to see yourself through other people's eyes? So instead of focusing on how you see yourself, I want us to explore how others see us, why their perspectives might actually be just more accurate than we credit ourselves with. And here's a curious fact. There is a model, an effect called the Dunning-Kruger effect. People with the least, and it states that people with the least competence tend to overestimate their abilities, while those with the most competence are often stifled or plagued by doubt. So imposter syndrome might be just the ultimate paradox. So the more you know, the more you realize there's so much more to learn. So you hold back and start to feel like you have to doubt how much you know in that very room or very situation. And let's just draw from a rather global philosophy, as you know I love to do. And today we are going to read the Maori culture. And there's a concept called mana, M-A-N-A, mana, which represents actually a very spiritual power and prestige. But here's the catch. Mana isn't self-proclaimed. It's recognized by others. So whenever you are called, invited to something, it's those people that recognize your abilities. It's not for you to put yourself up there. The idea is that our true strength, is perhaps often more visible to others around us than to ourselves. Think about it. What is it that others might see in you that you are blind to?
What is it? What is it that others see in you that you're perhaps completely blind to? What is it? Let's go deeper. Imagine a buried diamond, the depth of the earth. Imagine. At first glance, it's just a lump of rock, isn't it? Unremarkable and overlooked. But in the right hands, it's polished to reveal its brilliance. You are that diamond. Yes, you. Sometimes it takes someone else to see our potential before we can see it for ourselves. And that's why it's so important to surround yourself with people that believe in you. Stephen Bartlett often shares how people pointed out his knack for storytelling and leadership long before he even recognized that it was one of his strengths. So their feedback became the mirror that he needed to see himself clearly. What strengths do you have that you are trying to reflect back to? What strengths might others around you have that you need to feed back to them? Or what strengths might others actually be trying to tell you about you? I wonder. Did you know that Maya Angelou, despite her incredible achievements, once said, "I have written 11 books, but each time I think, you're going to find out now, I've run a game on everybody." If Maya Angelou needed reminders of her greatness, maybe we all do, actually. I want you to ask three people you trust to share what they see as your greatest strengths. Don't dismiss the answers. Write them down, like I always say, and sit with them. Sometimes the actual truth always lies outside of our own perspectives. And when others recognize our strengths, we must believe them. They are not fooled. They are seeing the real you. And I want to just think about how we can think of the unexpected gifts of being positioned differently than we actually imagined. Because it is an unexpected gift. Someone positioning you differently than you imagine yourself. Just think of it. Life is a way of placing us in positions we often never imagined. At first, it might feel like a mistake, doesn't it? But what if it's not a mistake? What if being positioned differently than we expected is, after all, the gift we've been waiting for? Let me share a little bit of a neuroscience fact. The brain's default mode network is that part responsible for daydreaming and self-reflection, and activates most when we face uncertainty. What does this mean? It means that moments of doubt and repositioning are incredible and vital and fertile ground for creativity and insight. So, in the words of Steve Jobs, he says, "You cannot connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards." Sometimes the place that we find ourselves
is exactly where we need to be. Not for comfort, but for transformation, for change to happen. I don't know how many of you have played chess. So think of a chessboard. A pawn might feel insignificant compared to the queen, right? But in the right position, a pawn can change the entire game. Your current position might feel small, but its potential is far too vast for you to keep doubting yourself. Do you understand? Stephen Bartlett once shared how he had failed ventures and how those failed ventures taught him resilience and creativity, taught him skills that became the foundation of his personal success right now. What if your current positioning is preparing you for something greater, grander, bigger than you can imagine right now? Reflect on where you are right now. What unexpected lessons is this position teaching you where you are? Write them down and consider how they might serve you in the future. Being positioned differently isn't a setback, it's a setup. Okay? And I just want you to look at how we can turn that imposter syndrome into that little button that says action. Okay? And how we can then use that imposter syndrome to be our fuel for what lies ahead. And really taking that to use that time to transform our feelings that we are feeling as a fuel for action. You know, somebody once said to me, imposter syndrome thrives in silence. So the more we internalize it, the more power it gains. But when we manifest it, I wanted to say, but I don't know whether that's the right wording, but when we name it, shall I say, and we confront it and we use it, it loosens its grip. Does that make sense? So we really need to name it out there. I feel like this. Confront it. Now, this is my moment for growth. And it begins to lose its negative impact into a positive impact. Did you know that at some point, I heard that Harvard Business School did a study that showed that those individuals that openly acknowledge their own doubts, are often perceived as the more competent by those around them. So it's in that vulnerability that the strength, that they find their strength. So being vulnerable enough to say, I doubt myself. But that doubt is okay because that is also our strength. In neuroscience, we talk about the concept of reframing. And I think in this case, it's too powerful to not mention it. So when we shift our perspectives, we change how our brain processes an entire experience. So instead of thinking, I don't belong here, try, I am growing into this dumb role. The words you choose shape the reality that you begin to live. Think of a rocket. It doesn't launch because it's weightless, does it? It launches because it's the mechanism that it uses. It uses the force of gravity to propel itself upward. Your doubts and fears are the gravity that pushes you higher if you harness those doubts positively. I just want you to take action in being in the things, I guess, that you've been avoiding because of self-doubt. It doesn't even have to be big. The key is that you start doing it and move forward despite the fear, despite the doubt, despite the little voices telling you that this is not for you. You cannot do this. You're not positioned well for this. Imposter syndrome really isn't here to hold you back. I want to think, and I hope that you believe too, that it's here to push you forward. Use it. Grow from it. And the very fact that you feel like an imposter is proof, like I said earlier, that you are stepping into something extraordinary. And you are positioned well for extraordinariness. I want to thank you for staying this whole 20 minutes with me while we talk about imposter syndrome, how we can reframe it, redefine it, is the true silent companion of achievers just like you. From me to you, from human focused to your business, to your household, it's goodbye for now until next week. Take care.